John chapter 15, and we're reading verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Good evening. Great honour to be back at Castle Hill Baptist. I think many of you know I'm a lead pastor at Pennant Hills up the road and good mate of Ian's, and it's always a joy when I get asked to come and share with the good folk of Castle Hill. Will did a great job praying for us and the message, but it's always my habit. I feel nervous if I don't pray first, so we're going to pray again. Father, open your word as we've prayed. Speak to our hearts, and Lord, give us conviction to trust Jesus and obey. We ask now in his name. Amen. Well, some of you, it was 2004. Some of you, I hope most of you will remember this. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Don't give the farmer his fun, fun, fun. He'll get by without his rabbit farm. So run, rabbit. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run. You see, you remember that? Didn't think it was that long ago, did you? But the whole point of that little clip is this. You've got to go to the Yarra Valley. Like, get down to Melbourne fast, get out to that Yarra Valley. Because down in the Yarra Valley, you can spend endless hours frolicking in the vines. And there is life there amongst the vines. Wouldn't you want to go on a holiday? I think that's what Ian's doing at the moment. Frolicking amongst the vines, would you notice? We got a couple in our church, our youth guy Julian and his wife. On the June long weekend, they couldn't afford to go to the Yarra Valley, so they went to Mudgee instead, and they frolicked. Julian was frolicking and Sarah was frolicking amongst the vines. I checked because they said there was life, there was romance amongst the vines. They're living it up, baby. They're living it up amongst the vines. You've ever done that with a holiday? Well, it's kind of what our passage is about today. That there is life in the vines. Well, not so much in the vineyard, but life in the vine. John's gospel, Jesus has just left to betray Jesus. Judas has just left to betray Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm sending you an advocate, a comforter, the promised Holy Spirit. You won't be alone. And then he uses a viticultural metaphor. And you've got to love a viticultural metaphor because, you know, how do you grow grapes for wine? Well, firstly, you need to work out which grape, Pinot this or Pinot that or Tempranillo or something. Then you've got to have the soil right and you've got to have limestone there, I think, somewhere. It's got to be cold, but not too cold, and hot, but not too hot. And there's got to be rain, but not too much rain. On the side of the hill, and you've got to prune, and then you harvest, and it's got to be harvested just the right sugar amount, and oh man, it gets complex. Growing grapes. But not Jesus. He uses a very, very simple metaphor. To say there is life in the vine. You don't have to be a grape grower to understand this metaphor. Now, a metaphor is not everything. If I was to say to you that Ian Dean is a live wire, well, that would be true. He's got a lot of energy, a lot of passion, a lot of get up and go. I'm not telling you where the power comes from. I'm not telling you where the power goes. Maybe if you touch him in the wrong way, he might explode. You never know, you might get hurt. But I'm not telling you everything. The metaphor is not about everything. It's just a metaphor. So I think that's the same thing that's happening in this metaphor. It's not telling us everything, but there are some basic points of comparison that do speak the truth. And if you like, there's one basic point in this metaphor that Jesus uses. And that is that there is life in the vine and only in the vine. And that vine is Jesus. I'd like to draw five, what I hope are simple lessons from this metaphor, and then ask for, at least the last four, how they might apply to you or even to this church and your situation. Oh, I didn't turn it on. Come on, John. What if I flick it that way? Here we go. First is pretty simple. Jesus is the vine. We're at the last of the seven I am statements in John's gospel. I am the bread of life, all those sorts of things. I am. Well, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Verse 5, I am the vine, you disciples are the branches. Now, in ancient Israel, this is more than just a metaphor. This is actually a pre-existing metaphor. It's a metaphor that carried weight. In the Old Testament scriptures, the vine is a common symbol for the people of Israel. So if we went to, for instance, just one example, Isaiah 5, there's a number of examples. Isaiah writes, I will sing a song for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one, this is God, had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, he cleared it of its stones, he planted it with the choicest vines. This is a good vineyard. He built a watchtower for it. He cut out a wine press as well. This is good, 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 good. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, as a wine grower, grape grower does. But it yielded only bad fruit. Go to verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. And the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice and saw bloodshed. He looked for righteousness but heard cries of distress. Constantly, every time this metaphor is referred to, it's good, good, good vine that produces bad, bad, bad fruit and is fit for judgment. Psalm 80 combines this vine metaphor of Israel with actually hope in the Son of Man. So let me go to Psalm 80 for you. I've got it all up on the screen. You can follow in your Bibles if you want. Psalm 80, you transplanted, Lord, a vine from Egypt. And you drove out the nations and you planted it. This is good. You cleared the ground for it and it took root and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, it shoots as far as the river. Good, good, good. Then it says, but bad, bad, bad. Judgment came and we've been squashed, 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 squashed by all these people round about. Go to verse 14, and they say in this psalm, return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the one that you planted out of Egypt. The root your right hand has planted. The Son, this Son, Lord, that you've raised up for yourself. Watch over us and let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. The Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we will call upon your name. There is hope in this Son of Man at God's right hand who will restore Israel, the vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true Israel. Whoops. I am the Son of Man who has promised to save and restore. Those who follow me, well, they're the people of God. They're the saved remnant. See, I'm the promised Son of Man. I am Messiah. I am King. I am the vine. There is life in me. Jesus is the vine. And if Jesus is the vine, then God's people are those who are found in Him, in Christ, in the Messiah. So the second point I'd like to draw out is the absolute necessity of there being a vital union with the vine. You need to be one with the vine. You must be in the vine. I am the vine, true vine, and my Father is the gardener, Jesus says. In verse 4, he says, remain in me as I also remain in you. See that union? No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, this vital union, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I think I've got one more verse there. No, I don't. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. There is no growth, there is no fruitfulness, there's no life unless you remain in the vine. To use the New Testament language, you need to be found to be in Christ, in the Messiah. And you do, that happens by faith, through faith, by believing on his name. At the very start of John's Gospel, we're told that Jesus is the Word of God. We're told that Jesus is the light, that there is life in him. And John goes on to say, to all those who did receive Jesus, the light, the life, the Word, to those who believed in his name, there's the essence, he gave them the right to become children of God, united with God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And Jesus promises those people his Holy Spirit so that they are with God in them as they are in Christ, in God. I will not leave you as orphans, says Jesus in John 14. I will come to you. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. There's this vital union for those who are in the vine. We have the life of God in us by his Spirit, which is to be in Christ. Only if you remain, only if you continue in faith. Now, there's another big metaphor used in the Bible about being in Christ, and that is to say that we are the church, we are the body of Christ, and he is the head. So if you are in Christ, then you are in his body, which is to be part of his people, the church. Therefore, you have to remain in me. It has big implications because it means we're not alone as Christians. Indeed, we can't be alone as Christians. It's you together with Christ, the body. Belonging, one vine, many branches, one vine, expressed locally. Let's call locally Castle Hill Baptist Church. One vine, many branches, Castle Hill Baptist Church expression, church. And so you've got to remain in the vine. So here's my challenges. Are you in Christ? Can you say, he is Lord? I've trusted him. I follow him. And is that expressed in belonging to his body or, if you like, the vine? Do you participate in the community of God, wherever it is expressed locally? Because if there is no vital union, then there is no life. And there's no belonging. You're not part of the people of God. You're not in the true vine where there is life. The third point then is really just a natural consequence of all this. That is, the branches are utterly dependent on the vine. If there is no union, there is no life and there will be no fruit. This is simple metaphor. Remain in me, says Jesus, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Julian and Sarah, they've told me they're planning to go to the Barossa Valley in October because they just love to frolic amongst the vines. I can imagine them there. It's October. They're amongst the vine, frolicking, and Sarah says, Sarah's an excitable sort. She goes, oh, Jules, look at this. Look at that little branch. Look at those little baby little grapes on the branch. You've seen those little green baby grapes. She says, oh, I wish we could take it home. I wish we could take one home and have grapes in summer. And Julian, being the strong man that he is, trying to look after his wife, he pulls out his pocket knife and says, aha, he's Colombian. Aha! He looks around, chops off a branch, sticks it in his shirt. They walk out, whistling, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. They get in their car, and they're driving back to Pennant Hills, all the way through South Australia and New South Wales, with this branch in the backyard, back of the car. Oh, we're going to have grapes in summer, says Julian. They get back to, it's a little bit wilted now. They walk out into the backyard. They stick it in the ground. They put a bit of water on it. Oh, we're going to have grapes in summer. Oh, Julian, you're my man. You're my man. 1 week later, Julian's dad's in the backyard. He sees this brown, grey stick. He pulls it out and throws it in the green bin. End of story. Like, duh! You cannot go to the vineyard and chop off a branch and stick it in the ground and expect to get grapes. Duh! Julian, you fool! The branch is totally dependent on the vine. Apart from the vine, the branch can do nothing, because the life is in the vine. So Jesus is emphatic. No branch can bear fruit by itself. Duh! It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, says Jesus. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, I say, really? You can play tennis apart from Jesus, can't you? You can teach high school students apart from Jesus. You can be a pastor apart from Jesus. You can provide people with counselling apart from Jesus. These things are all doable. But be assured of this, there will be no spiritual fruit. You can be a church without Jesus, in name, out the front. You can even grow as a church in numbers without Jesus, but there will be no spiritual fruit. There is only fruit and health and life if you abide in the vine. I look at Castle Hill Baps here. Castle Hill is increasingly a suburb. There's a lot of development happening around here. The train line is now running. You know, there's parking at Pennant Hills now. The train's amazing. I drive every day. I drive to church and I stop right in front of the door. Before the train line, I was a block away. It's just fantastic. But it's impacted Pennant Hills in absence, because it's impacted Castle Hill in abundance. And will continue to do so. There's going to be a lot of growth in this area. These people need Jesus, as we've already prayed. You've got great ministry and great mission opportunities through this church, so well located. But apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. What about in your own personal life? You know, the relationships. How are your relationships going? Why don't we just go around the room and say, all the wonderful relationships we've got? Because there's a lot of chaos out there, I know. There's a lot of pain. Why don't you fix them all up? Because I'm actually often too proud and arrogant. Oh, why don't you fix that up? How's the lust going? Young men, how are you going with lust? Are you in control of that at the moment? Old men, women, fix it up. You keep getting in trouble because you're so selfish. You think, how did I do that? How could I possibly have done that or said that? Boom, you do it again. Boom, you do it again. Boom, you're selfish. You can finish the noun. Why do you keep losing your temper? Freezing people out or exploding. Why do you do that? Why don't you stop doing that? What you should do is read some self-help books. Maybe you could join a class, anger management class for some, lust classes for others, pride classes for others. Do some counselling. You can do this in your own strength. Not. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You need to lean into him. You need to abide in the vine. That's the only way. And the converse is also true. Jesus says, with me, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You see, those who abide pray. Because they're abiding, and those who pray, well, they're the ones who abide, who remain. And there is power in prayer because God works through prayer. And it could well be said that a lack of prayerlessness is the measure of your apart from me. How much are you apart from me? How much am I abiding? Well, how's the prayer life going? How much are you praying? How much are you depending and trusting? There is life in the vine. We are totally dependent upon Jesus. We are people who are called to live by faith. So the challenge, how are you going? Are you trying to do everything in your own strength? Are you feeling therefore weak? If you are, you will be. Or you're deceived. Are you trying to save yourself? Are you trying to get right with God through your own good works, your own merit? Well, that's a fun exercise, isn't it? Don't do it. It doesn't work. In fact, it leads to death. Trust in Jesus. Lean into him. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're utterly dependent. The fourth point from our metaphor is there's an expectation, a natural expectation of fruit from those who abide. Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Now, why do farmers in Mudgee plant grapevines? So Julian and Sarah can go and frolic, yes? For Instagram shots, yes? No, they plant grapevines to grow grapes. To harvest grapes. That's what they do. Why does God, the gardener, what does he expect of his people who are in his vine? He cuts off every branch in me, says Jesus, that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus says, remain in me and I, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Which really does raise the question, what's the fruit that God expects? Maybe it's the number of people saved. Maybe it's the amount of money we can give. Maybe it's if the number of people giving over their seats on the train to old ladies. Is that how you measure the fruit? Well, let's go back to Isaiah, to his fruitless vineyard. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed. And he looked for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Justice and righteousness. Do you notice we're not talking about the blessings of the fruit? The blessings of fruit is good food or good drink or seed to propagate more grapevines. They're the blessings, but that's not the fruit. The fruit is not the outward effects, but the inward qualities. The fruit on the vine, church and individual, is when Christ's life is produced in the branches of the vine. If you abide, the life of Christ will come through, because you're in the vine. And so for a church, it's not to be larger or more spectacular. The fruit for a church is when the life of Christ is expressed in the body of Christ. It's beautifully captured by the Apostle Paul as he prays for the Colossians. Paul writes in chapter 1, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." There's a prayer for a fruitful church. And if you get that right, the sweet, sweet blessings will flow. Because God the gardener, he's all about fruit. That's why Jesus came, to save. To see his church being fruitful, filled with the knowledge of his will, living a life worthy of his calling, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in our knowledge of him. There's the fruit. So challenge, where's the fruit in your life? Is it naturally flowing out in sweetness and blessing and growth elsewhere? Or is it hard and bitter and self-focused? Are you growing in your knowledge of God, and is that working itself out in real good work? Be assured of this: if you abide in the vine, God will be at work in love to see you bear much fruit, sweet fruit that blesses others and builds the kingdom. And so, with that statement, we come to the hard word. Fifth point: God is a gardener. Gardeners who want fruit, almost doesn't matter what plant you're talking about, gardeners who want fruit prune. There's two types of pruning. The first is when you remove the dead wood or the completely unproductive. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. What does the gardener do? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If you do not remain in me, verse 6, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If there is no fruit seen, if you're not abiding, the Father will cleanse the vine by removing the unproductive. And there will be no life and no fruit, and you're frankly no good, so it's a green bin for you, which is judgment. Because God is going to cleanse his vine to be a fruit-bearing vine. Those who follow Jesus, those who are in Christ, those who trust him, Jesus says, you're actually cleansed by my word. I've already done a pruning work in you. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, Jesus says to his disciples. And for them, there will be, guess what? Also pruning, but pruning of a different sort. If you are in Christ and cleansed by his word, you will be pruned for productivity. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. Let me tell you about Julian and Sarah's trip to Mudgee on the June long weekend. It looked a bit like this. It's winter. Frolicking amongst the vines. What a lot of baloney. Frolicking amongst the stumps. That's what they were doing. Why do they do that? Not very Instagram worthy. Every year they get out there and they hack them almost to death. So you've only got stumps. Well, the reason is it's just basic horticulture. The energy and the life of the vine, when the growth comes in spring, is now focused on new life that will promote fruit. And God is the gardener. And he prunes the people he loves so that they will be even more fruitful. Can you see this is not related to godliness? I'm a very good person, therefore I won't be pruned. No. If you're following Jesus closely, expect to be pruned every year. It may mean you get pruned more because there's more fruit. It's not as if, like, I've made it now, Lord, leave me alone. He prunes you because he loves you. Said like this spot in Hebrews, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate. You're not true sons and daughters at all. See, God's going to discipline those who are his children, whom he loves. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. To the uninitiated eye, it looks cruel. It looks savage and wasteful. And the knife, as God prunes, brings pain. I don't want that. I don't want that. Stop, God. Stop. However, to the experienced eye knows that this is the best route to growing rich and healthy fruit. Because from the fruit comes the blessing, the real blessing. So God cuts us back. Do you know that when he's cutting you back and you're going, ow, his hand is never further from you. His hand is ever so close. And do you know when he cuts you back? He cuts it back so far. Too much. You know, there's not much left but the original vine. So when he cuts you back, there's lots of opportunity for the life of Christ to shine and grow forth from you. And perhaps that's what you feel like at the moment. I don't know your stories. And even if I did know your story, well, I'm not the vine dresser. I don't know why you've been pruned. But the Father does know. And I know that he's looking for fruit, that the life of Christ may grow through you in power. And if this is a picture of your life at the moment, here is the power. Here's what you've got to do. Keep trusting Jesus. Gee, it's a hard metaphor and a hard basic point to get, isn't it? Keep trusting Jesus. Are you sailing or sinking? Is it fair weather or storm clouds and dark despair? I know it sounds so simplistic, but there's only one answer. There is life in the vine and only in the vine, and that vine is Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. Don't look elsewhere. Don't look at yourself. It doesn't work. Keep trusting Jesus. Hold fast in faith. He has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Keep trusting Jesus. And do it in community. Because you are the vine. He is the vine and you are the branches. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be in that vine. Forgiven, cleansed as we remembered at communion. Keep trusting Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful salvation you have won for us in our Saviour. We confess that we find it hard to keep trusting, Lord, that we keep looking at ourselves and looking elsewhere. Give us strength, maybe even in a special way tonight, Lord, as we considered your pruning hand and your amazing love. Give us strength to keep trusting our Saviour. We pray in his name. Amen.